Please open your Bible to the Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're going to look at the first three verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that He has redeemed them from the hand of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Over the past several months, say close to 40 of them, you've heard me talk about witnessing. You've heard me talk about inviting people to church. You've heard me talking about personal evangelism. Those of you that have been unfortunate enough to sit in my Sunday school class have heard me talking about personal evangelism and how to witness. You've heard me talk about how to share your faith, and we even talked about your personal testimony, and we got people to write down their personal testimonies and put it on one side of a sheet of paper so that they could make their testimony concise. Because once you do talk to somebody, and you do get a chance to talk to somebody about Jesus, you've got 3 minutes. And so we've worked on making those testimonies memorable and concise. You heard me talking Sunday after Sunday about witnessing and evangelism and inviting people to church. And so I want to start the message this morning with one question. How many of you, because of all of that, have become witnessing juggernauts? In other words, you've gone from witnessing zeros to witnessing heroes in the last 3 years. Okay? I want to see hands of everybody that could say, my life in witnessing has been revolutionized by all the things that you've taught and preached over the last 3 years. I quit. No, not really. How do you think I'm going to let you go that easy? How come we haven't gone from witnessing zeros to witnessing heroes if we've been hearing about it so much? I anticipated that response, and that's why we're preaching this message today. What is it? Why do we have hang-ups about witnessing and inviting people to church? Shouldn't it be like the easiest thing to do next to brushing your teeth? Shouldn't it be? Yeah, you would think it would be. So, why is it that so many well-meaning Christians struggle with evangelism? I can tell you why. It's because we see it as something that we're forced to do whether we like it or not. Like going to the dentist. How many of you circle that date on your calendar and say, I can't wait for September 22nd because that's the date that I'm going to go get my cleaning. And I'm going to go get my scaling, and I'm going to go get this done, I'm going to go get that done. You just love going to the dentist. How many people love going to the dentist? I've only got one person on planet Earth who loves it, and that's my daughter, Sarah. She'll be going to counseling soon. We see witnessing with the same amount of excitement as we do that. Why is that? Well, according to what we read here in the Scripture, what does it tell us? It says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, as it says in some translations. Every child of God, every redeemed man and woman must be about saying so. It says so right here. So let's talk about that for just a couple minutes. One of the high points of this message is going to be the fact that about halfway through, I'm going to stop talking. And you are going to be doing the talking. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute or two. Okay, so please, who should say so? We're going to talk about the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. Okay, if you ever watch the news, a news reporter gets up and they have the microphone in their face, they're smiling at you from the other side of the camera. Every story that they tell you should have a who, a what, a when, a where, and a why. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. The who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. So who should say so? Who should be the ones that are telling people about their redeemed life? Who are they? The redeemed. Boy, that's real groundbreaking preaching right there, because we didn't know that. Who should say so? The people that have been redeemed. And how should they say it? Well, notice this psalm. How does this psalm start? I don't think it's any accident that Psalm 107 starts with praise. Do you see that? Go back there. Verse 1. What does it say? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. That's praise. The psalmist begins Psalm 107 where he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He begins it with praise. What do I mean by that? Well, what if I was to tell you that in the eyes of God, praise is something very important. Praising Him is very important in His eyes. Matter of fact, it is so important that from what I read over in the book of Acts chapter 16, it's so important that He will not accept the false praise of the unredeemed. What? Is that possible? Well, look if you would over the book of Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. Please keep your fingers here in Psalm 107, but turn over to the book of Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through 19. Acts 16, starting at verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Here was somebody who was praising God falsely. She was possessed by a spirit of divination, meaning fortune-telling. And as she was following along saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, she was doing in an insincere and perhaps even mocking manner. And it was so serious that Paul turned around and rebuked her and told the spirit to come out of her, which the spirit did. The people that were making money off her fortune telling got so angry, they sued Paul and Silas, basically. So God does not want the false praise of false disciples or unbelievers. He wants the praise of all those who are the redeemed. Okay? Are you redeemed? Are you one of those people that God would say, this is my child, this is one that has received my son Jesus? If so, then you are one of the redeemed. And God says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so and begin it with praise. We need to start with praise. Here it says right there in Psalm 107. We are the redeemed who are the blood-bought children of God. But what does this have to do with saying so? What does this have to do with our public life of sharing Jesus? Well, it all starts with a heart of praise. If you want people to love the Jesus that you love, then show Him to be lovable. Show Him to be worthy of praise. Show Him to be a God who loves them, who cares for them. And let me say this, with a heart that's overflowing with love and praise for Jesus, well, they can't keep it to themselves. If you've got a heart that loves Jesus and is overflowing in praise and love for Him, you just can't keep it to yourself. Now, some people would say, well, I can keep it to myself. Well, that tells me, forgive me for saying this, because I'm saying this with all the love I've got for you. You need more Jesus love. You need to experience it more. You need to spend more time with Him. Because if you're full of Him, you're overflowing for Him. Everybody got that? It's kind of like that outflow thing. Filled to the brim and overflowing with love for Him. It begins with praise. Okay? So what are the redeemed supposed to say? Point number two. What are the redeemed supposed to say? Well, that's a good question. What are you supposed to say? Well, I find a good answer to that over in the book of Mark chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. You don't need to turn there. You can take my word for it if you like. But there was a certain individual known as the Gadarene demoniac, or Gergesene demoniac, depending on what translation you use. And he is a great example of Jesus' love and grace. And when Jesus cast demons out, remember he came across the sea to the land of the Gadarenes, and he met there a man who had been living in the tombs. And he kept people awake all night, howling and screaming in pain as he gashed himself with rocks. And he was so strong in this being possessed that even chains couldn't hold him. He'd break them apart. And when Jesus arrived on the other side and came to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, this man met him and said, "Why have you come here? Have you come to torment us before our time?" Even Jesus' presence caused the demons to be in agony. And Jesus cast the demons out of him. The demons went into a group of pigs. The pigs ran into the sea and drowned themselves. And the Gadarene demoniac was healed. Okay? But this is the part that really strikes me about that whole story. Verses 18 and 19. He gets into the boat where Jesus is. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him, that's Jesus, that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." So here Jesus casts the demons out of this man, and the man gets into the boat with Jesus and says, "Jesus, can I follow you forever? Can I just follow you?" And Jesus says what? "No. Instead, go to your family, go to your friends, and tell them what I have done for you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Say what? What does that mean? Say what? What do they say? Go to your family, to your friends, and tell them what the Lord has done for you. People get all hung up about witnessing. Okay? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have shared your faith with somebody in a detailed manner for the purpose of leading them to Jesus sometime in the last 6 months? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What's wrong with the other 50 of us? Why haven't we? I know what it is. You don't know what to say. You're thinking, "Well, what if I try to tell somebody about Jesus? What if I don't know what to say? What if I say the wrong thing?" Right? You ever worry about, what am I going to say? Well, it's just as simple as this. Go to your family, go to your friends, go to the people around you, and tell them what Jesus has done for you. Amen? That's great. All right, I'm liberated. Now I'm going to go be a hero instead of a zero. Right? Let me ask you this question. How many of you have had Jesus do something special for you? Have you had Jesus do something special for you? Well, this is the part of the message where you get to do the preaching. Because right now you're going to tell us in 2 seconds or less, well, maybe not 2 seconds, but very quickly, "Jesus did this for me." Has Jesus met you somewhere and done something special for you? What is it? Somebody volunteer. I'm not kidding. Joe. Jesus saved your life. You think you can tell somebody about that? "This is how Jesus saved my life. This is where I was. This is how Jesus saved me. This is what my life is like now." Could you do that? If you could do that, you've got a witnessing tool. Who else? Come on, I saw a whole bunch of hands. Well, we heard Jackie's story. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody about that. Who else? Doug. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody about that. How about somebody from this side? Kevin. Praise the Lord. Somebody should know about that. Selfie. Oh, praise the Lord, he sustained you. Tell somebody about that. You've got a story to tell. Who else has something to tell us? Richard, what are you guys doing? You're praising Jesus. That's what this is. This is praising Him out loud. Okay? Anybody else? Okay. Somebody needs to know how the Lord blessed you too. Say it. Absolutely. Anybody else? These are called testimonies, folks. I would love to be able to stand up here every Sunday and not get a chance to preach because you do all the preaching and share the testimonies. And I believe that there is enough testimonies here, and enough of you have had the Lord do wonderful things for you that you could make a difference in somebody else's life. How many people here are afraid to tell others about Jesus because they don't know what to say? Well, guess what? You got no excuse anymore because you just said it. God has given you a testimony that He wants to use to reach other people. And there is something here that is so indisputable that even the most astute atheist cannot argue. Nobody, even Heidi, cannot dispute this witnessing tool that you have. Jesus would tell you, just like He told the man from the tomb, you don't know what to say? Just tell the people what I have done for you. And there's not an atheist on planet Earth that can deny that. There's not an unbeliever on planet Earth that can argue that. If you try to give them the Bible, they can dispute doctrine. If you try to hand them Bible tracts, 9 out of 10 of them will just throw them away. The other group will read it and not believe it and throw them away possibly too. But they cannot. There is not a person on planet Earth who can deny what the Lord has done in your life. Amen? You don't know what to say? Well, then just tell them what Jesus did for you. Simple. Praise the Lord for that. Do you think this Gadarene demoniac's family and friends were able to dispute the change that they saw in that man? How demon-possessed was he? Well, when Jesus said, "Who are you?" and he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He was possessed through and through, and the change in him was so dramatic that people saw it, I guarantee you. What difference has the Lord made in your life? Well, let the redeemed of the Lord tell people the difference the Lord has made in their life. Amen? So when and where should the redeemed say it? We've got the who. We've got the what. What about the where and the when? Well, according to Mark 16, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Where should we preach it? Where should we tell people? Wherever we are. Wherever the Lord plants us, He needs us to be telling people. A heart full of praise. Can't keep it to themselves. When should we do it? Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What does that mean? When should I be doing it? All the time. Now, don't think for a second that I mean that every word that comes out of your mouth needs to be Scripture. I could not imagine Jim Patrick up there on the corner in Belvedere walking the kids across the street, doing the street gardening thing that he does with such excellence, and somebody comes by and goes, "Hey, Pat, how are you? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." Another guy comes by and says, "Hey, Pat, you want a cup of coffee?" "I need that not, for my food is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." "Hey, Jim, what time are you working tomorrow?" "Well, I don't care, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Is that what I'm talking about? No. No. What I am saying is, speak the praises of the Lord where He's planted you, and do it all the time. People should know who you are, they should know what you believe, and they should know about it without fail. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason we thank God without ceasing." We should have a lifestyle of praise. We should be praising the Lord with our lives. Number four, why should the redeemed say so? Number one, Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor." Why should we do it? Because God deserves it. The Lord deserves our praises. He deserves our witness. He deserves for us to be praising Him out loud. Why should the redeemed say so? Because the Lord commanded us to. Don't forget what Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you every Sunday that you're not on vacation. No. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? Your friends are more interested in what God has done for you than what He did for James, John, Peter, Paul, Timothy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Believe it or not, people are watching us, and they are interested in what the Lord is doing in your life. All you need to do is say something to them. They can read about the apostles in the Bible if they've got one, and it's not gathering dust on a bookshelf somewhere. Or they can read about the working of Jesus in the translation, which is the Bible of your life. I tell people, they say to me, what was the best translation of the Bible that you have seen? And I tell them, my grandma Clark. What does that mean? Why should we praise the Lord? Because we have a testimony to tell. How many of you would say this morning, I am a living, breathing, born-again child of God? Then you have a testimony to tell, and people need to hear it. Amen? Fourthly, we should say so because the world needs to hear what we have to say, and if you don't tell them, then who will? If you don't tell them, who will? How many unsaved people are there on planet Earth? I couldn't count them all. How many believers are there on planet Earth? There are myriad. And the Lord has placed us here for the purpose of taking what we know about Him and what He has done in our life to all those billions of unsaved people. And all it takes is saying so. Hey, you know what the Lord did for me? This is where I was. This is how I met the Lord. And this is what my life is like now. If you can say those three things, folks, you've gone from a witnessing zero to a witnessing hero. But wait a minute, what if the people don't fall down on their face and profess Jesus as we're standing in front of them? It doesn't matter. My word shall not return to me void. You share the word and let the Lord take care of the rest. Amen? Please. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll think about it. Okay, well, think about it. And then think about what General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, once told his people. He said, if I had my choice, I wouldn't send you to school. I would send you to hell for 5 minutes, and you would come back soul winners. I don't want to pray that you guys go to hell for 5 minutes. Do you think that would work, though? If we got a taste of the fires of hell, do you think it would work? How many of you would say, okay, I get it. All I need to do is tell people what my life was, tell them how I met Jesus, and show them what my life is like now. I can do that. You don't need to know the Roman road. You don't need to be able to lead people through the Gospel of John or all those things in order to show them scripture proofs of everything they need to know. Let us do that after you bring them. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Then will you say so? Father, we pray today that you would talk to us, show us the people that need to know Jesus. And then, Father, fill our hearts with praise. Praise to you. Praise for you, for what you have done. And Lord, as you fill our hearts with praise, We pray that you would lead the people across our path that need to know what we know. And Lord, change the world one soul at a time through me. Father, help me to witness as though it is all because of you, but that it all depends on me. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for me. Now, Father, use me to touch lives for my Savior, Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Goodness and for your grace. Now, Lord, make us to be people that take that goodness and grace with us wherever we go. Fill our hearts with love and praise, and Lord, so much so that we cannot keep it to ourselves. Lord, thank you for every testimony that was shared here today. Lord, they lifted my heart. And I know, Father, that you were glorified in those praises. Now, Father, inhabit those praises and give us even greater praises that we can take and share with those lost people out there around us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.